Again, I wish you good morning. Thank you so much for being here today. And we continue in this series that we've been in for the last few weeks. Live in peace, and we've talked about peace with ourselves and peace with our enemies. And today we expand that to peace in the home. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I preach, I try to cover a lot of different topics, a variety of topics. But from my conversations I have with my preaching friends and the way I feel myself, I've come to conclude that there are just certain topics that we all feel that may be better covered by more qualified people. And one of the topics that falls under this category for me is when I talk or preach about the family. It's kind of like golf. I used to be a golf coach, and I can help someone hit the ball better, but unfortunately, I don't always make those applications to my own golf swing. I grew up in a rough home environment. And in retrospect, I look back on my marriage. I look back on raising my kids and feel that maybe in some ways I went too far in the other direction. I know that probably all of you have said, I'm not going to be like that when I have kids. And so I went almost to the opposite extreme and became, as this passage warns, about overbearing, being too overbearing. And I feel like I did that sometimes with my children. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this all as a disclaimer. I don't presume to stand before you this morning as the model, as the marriage and family guru. But even then, there's a few important things I'd like to share with you. Maybe I can bring them to memory, and hopefully we can put these things into practice. Would you pray with me before we get started? You are so good, Father. I thank you for these moments. And while, Father, I know that these are things that I wish I understood better 30 years ago, Father, there's still things that I need to apply today. And I know that we all do. There's not one in this room who does not need to heed Paul's words here from Colossians chapter 3. And thank you for this tremendous passage of Scripture. So I pray today, Father, we can all take something home and make application. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to share with you three different scenarios. You're not going to find yourself in each one of them, but maybe you can, first of all, find the humor in them and maybe see something in it. Like, the minister who has finished, he was just finishing up an entire series on marriage. And after the series was complete, he was standing in the back and his couples were leaving. Is my mic working?
No.
How about now? There we go. As the preacher was leaving, thank you, Keith. As the preacher went to the back and couples were leaving, he was saying, you know, take this wooden cross. Take this cross and hang it in the room where you and your spouse argue the most. And maybe you'll see the cross and you won't argue as much. So he was handing these out, and finally one woman comes by. She says, I better take five. There was one ad. One ad said, for sale wedding dress, worn once by mistake. A son didn't take his freshman year at college very seriously. He was irresponsible. He wasn't making good grades. He was wasting money. And finally, he came home. And his parents told him, you have just blown off your freshman year. We're not paying for this anymore. If you want to go back to college, you're going to have to pay for it yourself. So as part of his punishment, he had to stay home and work during the summer while his family went on summer vacation. And it just so happens that year they went to Greece. And so his mother over in Greece sends back a postcard to her son, and she says, son, today we stood on the mountain where the ancient Spartan women sacrificed their children. Wish you were here. Can you relate to any of these at all? Truth be told, we all speak very different languages. Men think and speak one way. Women think and speak another way. And kids speak and think differently altogether. And we all are standing back and scratching our heads and wondering, why doesn't the other one understand me? Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it in these terms, but the family is the oldest small group in the history of the world. And in each of these small groups, each member knows a great deal about the other group members. We know exactly how to push the buttons to set someone off. But on the other hand, we also know how to tactfully ask for something if that's what we want. You know what people in your group likes and what they don't like. We've shared confined living spaces. We have ridden in the car state after state after state. Perhaps when you were younger, you had to share a room, maybe even a bed with one of your siblings. We've had to share bathrooms. We see each other every day, and we become quite accustomed to life with each other. And any time a group like this comes together, personalities emerge and conflict is inevitable. You all know that there are times when feelings are hurt, fights are started, grievances are aired. It's no secret that husbands and wives get into heated debates. Siblings, brothers, sisters, whatever, have conflict. And believe it or not, maybe you've experienced that even parents and children have been known to clash from time to time. But as much as we all know that these conflicts exist, I'm still drawn back to the same statement in Romans 12, verse 18. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And it only makes sense that when we make peace with God, we learn how to live at peace in our families. Over the years I've been involved, I've lost count how many funerals that I have performed. And it doesn't happen often, but one of the things that continues to bother me is when a surviving family member, when I'm meeting with the family, and they tell me that there were unresolved hard feelings between now and the now deceased. And it's too late to make peace with them. It's too late to do anything about it. F. Scott Fitzgerald said this, "Family quarrels are bitter things. They don't go according to any rules. They're not aches or wounds. They're more like splits in the skin that won't heal because there's just not enough material." And yet God repeatedly explained in Scripture how to live peacefully in the family. And today we're going to be looking at one of those places, Colossians chapter 3. I just want to talk through this passage for just a moment. I'm not going to comment on every verse. I just want to look at it and make a few comments that I believe that if we practice the things that I'm going to talk about today, we will experience greater peace in our families. So here's the Colossians 3 passage. Notice I've got the word summarize up there. I have summarized it down, and I want you to hear again what Paul says in Colossians 3, "Because you're chosen and made holy by God, clothe yourselves with compassion. Forgive each other to the extent that Christ forgave you. And all these things, hold them together with love. Peace will rule in your hearts, and you'll always have a song to sing. And when these things happen, the following will result. Wives will submit. Husbands will love. Children will obey." What a fantastic passage. It's a passage that most of us are familiar with, but really verse 15 that I've got in bold print up there, verse 15 really stands out in the series that we're in about peace, doesn't it? "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of the body you were called to peace." See, there it is again, that pesky little command. That's not a suggestion, this command to live at peace. And when we read this entire passage in context, we find that there is nothing at all in there about how we are to sing when we're together in a congregation. That's not even a hint of that in there. It's talking about living at peace. So the question we want to ask today is, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to live at peace at home? And the first thing we've got to do is make sure that Jesus Christ is the foundation. We've got to start with Jesus, not just include him as an afterthought, but let's start with Jesus. In my experience, I've met with way too many families that admit that even though they've been married a lot of years, their family isn't centered around Jesus. Yeah, they thought things were going great, but now they realize that much of the friction, much of the conflict, much of the chaos could have been avoided had they just had Jesus as their foundation. When our homes include Jesus, our children will know him at a very early age. They will know him because of the teaching that they've received and the way their parents model him and model his love. Jesus illustrated this when he told the parable in Matthew chapter 7 about a man who built his home on a loose soil, on some sand, and when the storms of life came and pounded the house, it was completely destroyed. Jesus was saying you can do one of two things. You can build your relationships on shallow and empty promises, or you can stake your life on the promises of God. To the person who builds on this stable ground, when the struggles, when the temptations, when the storms of life come, and they will, and they destroy everything else around you, if you're grounded in Jesus, your house will remain intact. But a lot of people, and I'm even including believers in this category, a lot of people continue to live by appearances. I mean, the kids make good grades in school. We have good jobs. Family's doing great. That's all wonderful. But what's underneath? What is your marriage built on? What are your parenting skills built on? What's the foundation? And if the answer to any one of those questions is anything besides Jesus Christ, you're building on shaky ground. If Jesus isn't part of your home, it's not because he hasn't been knocking on the door. It's because he hasn't been welcomed in. So Paul says, you've got to have Jesus as your foundation. But next, he says to have peace in our homes, we've got to forgive each other. It was a convention and husbands and wives were there and these two guys bumped into each other. They hadn't seen each other in years. They went to high school together. And so they started talking and talking. And before you knew it, the night was gone. It was early in the morning. And they looked at each other. They both said, man, we are in trouble. They saw each other a couple of days later, bumped into each other in the lobby, and one guy turned to the other and said, how did your wife respond? Did she say anything? He said, as soon as I walked in the door, my wife got hysterical. Hysterical? Don't you mean hysterical? He said, no, historical. She told me everything I've ever done wrong. Forgiveness. It's at the heart of successful family relationships. To keep families intact, we've got to practice this. That doesn't mean we don't feel the sting when we get hurt, but it does mean we allow those feelings to heal and not fester. But let's talk facts here. We're all going to make mistakes in our families. Sometimes they may be intentional. Sometimes it's unavoidable. But when we apply this standard, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and put that in context of what we've done and what God has forgiven us for, man, it makes forgiving so much more palatable. The inability to forgive, especially the little things, you know, those irritants, they'll kill a relationship. So I want you to answer two questions that I'm going to pose to you, okay? First, is my being angry going to cause more harm in my relationship with my spouse or with my children? Two, is my staying angry going to bring me closer to Jesus? We're told to forgive each other. And if we can learn to do that, it's going to relieve a lot of pressure in the family. To live at peace in the family, Paul said we need to be thankful. Can you imagine what your life would be like without family or without your family? Now, I know some of you may be thinking it might be better, but the truth is grass is not always greener. If you don't live in an abusive marriage or a situation where your spouse is unfaithful, statistics say that you should consider yourself fortunate. A married couple gets to choose each other. So consider this. Your mate chose you. Your mate wanted you. Kids, I hope that you're fortunate enough to live in a home where you're loved. I can't think of many things more rewarding than growing up and being able to look back when you're mature and seeing all the love and all the sacrifice made by your mom and dad. Parents, part of making that a reality for families of faith is to grow together spiritually. Beginning in Genesis and going all the way through Revelation, God clearly and God regularly reminds parents of their responsibility to raise children who will know Him. Pray with them, not just at mealtime. Pray with your children. Admit your failures to your children. Don't let your children grow up thinking that Christians are always perfect, that mom and dad never make mistakes. Admit these things to them. Show them what it's like to be a Christian and to be sorrowful for the mistakes that you make. Confess those things to them. Be real. Do you remember the Shema? Maybe you've never even heard of the word Shema, S-H-E-M-A. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's what the Jewish children would have this memorized. In fact, when Jesus in his ministry is approached by people who want to trap him, and they ask him, what's the greatest commands? Jesus goes back to the Shema with his answer. Listen to what Moses wrote. He said, "Hear, O Israel." In other words, let me have your attention. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Now listen, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. This isn't just God's advice. This is God's roadmap to raising godly children. So churches hire ministers so that we can help families and young people find God's direction in their lives. But ministers and Bible class teachers and elders, we cannot be the first line of communication to introduce people to Jesus, or specifically your children to Jesus. God said it starts at home. Impress these things on your children. Talk with them. One of my greatest memories with my children is what was in the car. When I was a student at Harding, we would travel from church to church to church, and we traveled quite a bit back in those days. And while we were in the car, we would always play Bible trivia. And the greatest memory from that is, every time, it could be the same day, Eric would always ask the question. Of course, he's 3 or 4 years old at this point. Every question he asked, the answer was either the fiery furnace or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Couldn't get him to ask another question. And those were just some special, special memories. But spiritual development isn't just for children. Husbands and wives need to spend time together in prayer and in meditation. A key element in making God a cornerstone in our families is to have a time when the whole family relates to God in a spiritual way. So that's three things there. We have Jesus in the foundation in our homes now. We're practicing forgiveness the way that Christ forgave us. We're thankful for our families and we're continuing to grow spiritually. I mean, what else could there possibly be? Respect. Every family member needs to give it, and every family member needs to receive it. Listen to how Paul includes every member of the family small group in Colossians 3:18 through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Kids, obey your parents. Fathers, don't make your kids bitter and discourage them. Now we hear these words, and it makes some people uncomfortable. Why is that? Because we're being beat over the head that things like submission, things like obedience, all equate to weakness. I have even, in performing weddings, I've even had women ask me to leave the submission part out. Children have hard times when parental obedience is a struggle. To a teenager, and I'm not talking for every teenager, but for most of them, probably for me too, when I was a teenager, my parents were the most ignorant people in the world until I grew into my 20s. And I realized, you know what? They've been wise all this time. And men, I'll pick on men. I'm not going to pick on the women. Men. We don't do well with more than one instruction at a time, do we? My wife asks me to take out the garbage, I take out the garbage. If she asks me to take out the garbage and feed the dog skipped a meal or two. But here's what we miss. And we can't miss this, family. We can't miss this. At the very heart of this text is this. Live at peace with each other. I read something recently that I'd like to share with you. It made an impact on me, and I hope it does on you too. And I'm going to close with this. We all possess something. It's very valuable. Let's think of it like currency. Let's think about it in something tangible. Something that makes your life better. Something that helps us accomplish things. And these things, these tangible things, can be spent or redeemed in any one of our relationships. Just like gold or platinum or silver, these things are valuable in society. We possess three things that are very valuable to healthy family life. And these three things are acceptance, respect, and the ability to be kind. And when we take these things and we spend them on our families, we'll begin to see peace in a whole new way, like acceptance. We all have this instinct, this desire to be accepted. Born into each of us is this desire to fit in with the people around you. Believe it or not, like it or not, we are most like our family members. Respect means that when someone else in our family speaks, it means something to us. The words mean something. And it wouldn't hurt us to just sit down and listen to each other every now and then without telling people how wrong they are or feel the need for correction. If we just listened, do you think that maybe our families would get along better if they knew their voice mattered? Would that make for a better home environment? And let's practice being kind. Parents, even kids, Kindness doesn't scream when patience runs thin. Kindness does good things. Kindness is a sacrificial lifestyle where we go out of our way to make those around us feel loved. So I've mentioned these three things: acceptance and respect and practice. And I want you to think about the greatest role model who ever performed these three things within the larger family unit. This is exactly what Jesus did. This is what drew people to our Master. Do you need that peace in your family? I don't expect you to shake your head, because of course we do. We all need that. So I'm asking you, if you would, take these things home. I hope that you kept notes today and on your bulletin. Take these things home with you and try to put these things into practice. Put it up on your refrigerator door. Put it to where you can sit. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. Be kind. Accept. Love. Respect. Listen. Accept. Man, I know that our families would be better off for it. And so now there's the question about the larger family of God. Certainly these things make application of that too, but perhaps there's someone here today who's not part of the family of God. You've gone through a lot of motions, you've done a lot of religious things, but you've never become part of the family. That's spelled out pretty clearly in Scripture, how to do that. We need to confess that we're sinners. We also need to confess that Jesus is Lord. And those things that I've talked about this morning, you know, yelling when you're angry or throwing fits of rage and those other things, we've got to leave those behind. That's what repentance is, and walking toward Jesus. We've got to be immersed. We need to reenact the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus by having our own death, burial, and resurrection in the watery grave of baptism. And then we walk together. We strengthen each other with God living inside. It all begins when we build our foundation on Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. You can know Him, and He can fix these issues. Build on His foundation. If you need to respond today, come to the front as we stand and sing.